Good evening. Good morning. Thank you for staying with me for the night. My name is Dave Schrader, and I'm your host on Coast to Coast AM this evening. Our guest has been Patricia Pearson, and she is a reporter and novelist. Discussed her rare journalistic investigation into nearing-death awareness. She also detailed how this phenomena has been known to include clear messages from beyond, profound and vividly beautiful visions, and foreknowledge of a loved one's passing, all of which evade explanation by science and logic. Her new book, Opening Heaven's Door, Investigating Stories of Life, Death, and What Comes After. That's what we've been chatting about this evening. We'll open up phone lines now so you can call in and share your thoughts, questions, and stories with us for the next hour. And if you'd like to email me directly, I'm at dave@darknessradio.com. dave@darknessradio.com. Here's a quick email from Susan. She says, was listening to you on Coast to Coast this morning. You asked the guest a question. Why sometimes does a relative we hardly know help us or give us a message? The answer is that they played an essential part in past lives. Answer to why, what was the purpose of the feeling you felt about your mom? Simple, if you were not there, a 99% chance she would have been found dead. This happened to me personally 3 times. I've had 4 times died. If you want more understanding about your mom's incident, you can feel free to contact me. And I thank you very much for that, Susan. It's always a pleasure to hear from somebody with a different and unique perspective as a psychic medium. I appreciate that. We're going to open up phone lines and start taking your calls. Let's go to the first time caller line, Angela in Van Nuys, California. Welcome to Coast with Dave Schrader and Patricia Pearson. What did you want to share with us?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that since I was 2 years old, I would go on my grandparents' porch, look at the skies, and say, I'm ready. When are you going to come after me? So I see auras, and I can sense when people are going to call me, like a few seconds before they call. And I can see dreams about certain constructions or events, and years later, that exactly happens. But the most important thing is that when my father was at war for 3 years, we were, of course, very concerned, very worried, but we knew everything was okay. Then one day when he was still fighting, I was at work, and suddenly I had the urge to leave the workplace. I left, I crossed the street, and I stopped in the middle of the street because something physically hit my chest. And then later we found out that that moment, my father got killed. So the next 3 days, we had no information, but I had dreams. It wasn't even dreams. I would go to bed and very vividly see the entire funeral from our home. I mean, back home, we used to do that. So his body is taken to the Academy of Sciences, where he used to work, then to the main square of the capital of the country, and I could see the whole ceremony. And that happened when, really, his body was brought back. So it was a complete picture of what was happening, what was going to happen. And I see auras, and I used to think that everybody sees auras, and that's normal to me. So how could you explain these things, Patricia? Actually, I'm a doctor, but I quit my Western medicine assistant. I'm a doctor of alternative medicine. And the Chinese say that where the mind goes, the energy goes. So also probably an energy is reflected and it can travel and come back to us and inform us about certain things.
Well, it's interesting because you just brought up a point that I had come across and forgotten to mention to Dave, which is that sometimes people have this like completely physical somatic reaction to somebody else dying. So if somebody had a heart attack, then that person will have like this extreme sort of squeeze in their chest feeling, or they might have, you know, choking feeling and they can't breathe. Very, very extreme, like not just a fleeting thing, but really, really painful. And it's somehow, I mean, I haven't seen any kind of really developed explanation about it, except that it's somehow similar to kind of the idea of infectious emotion. So, you know, when everybody in the household gets depressed because one person is depressed or something, that there's some kind of relational transmission of these shared illness and death experiences. I don't, you know, how that works, I've yet to see it properly explained, but it certainly happens for sure.
Thank you very much for calling in, Angela. Hi, Dave. Love your show and your host again, Coast to Coast. I was sitting with a close friend who was dying of cancer, and twice as I sat there and my friend was sleeping, the door opened and no one was there. I had shut the door securely, and when the door opened, I had a very heavy feeling. I told it that it didn't belong there and that it had to move on into the light, and I also prayed. The feeling left me shortly after. When I asked the nurses about what happened, they said they always had things like that happening. The next day, it happened twice more, and on the third day, my friend passed. I just thought I'd let you know. I do know there is life after death, and that's from Joe in San Antonio, Texas. Thank you for listening in and giving us a quick email, Joe. We appreciate that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got Nita in Washington State, Jeff on our international call line, and Mark from Nevada City, California, waiting to talk with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. Along with me, my guest, Patricia Pearson, journalist, novelist, writer, who's got a new book out called Opening Heaven's Door, investigating stories of life, death, and what comes after. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got East of the Rockies, James, a truck driver out in North Carolina, listening in to Coast this evening. What did you want to share with us this evening, James?
Good morning, everybody. Back in 1997, I had a near-death experience where I turned over my tractor trailer and my life flashed before my eyes and et cetera. I was slightly injured, but that night when I got home, I started seeing and hearing things, and everybody thought I was crazy. And soon after that, I was having these precog visions. And one of the most important ones, I was coming back from Indiana about a year after the accident, and I had a precog vision of a tree falling on me on the way home and killing me instantly in my pickup truck. Well, I get back to the trucking company, and I have to fuel my tractor trailer, and we have to use a 4-pin digit code, right? So I put in my 4-pin digit code, and it would not go through. So I had to go up front to the office, have them reset the pin, go back out, blah, blah, blah. It took about 30 minutes, and I finally got on my way home. Well, about a mile and a half from my house, approximately the same position as the precog vision, I see these two state troopers, South Carolina state troopers, walking the road. And I pull up to them, and one of them comes up to my truck and says, "Sir, you're going to have to find an alternate route." And I said, "Why?" He said, "This tree fell across the road, this huge tree, and it was right where I had that precog vision." So if it wouldn't have been for that stalling of the pin not taking at my trucking company, I probably would have been killed.
Well, James, we're glad that you're still with us. Thank you for listening in and being a part of the show with us this evening. Have you found, Patricia, that in any of the research where people have had near-death experiences, has that seemed to open them to more profound psychic or precognitive experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the things that happens to them, and that they're not necessarily prepared for. I mean, they're completely baffled by it. You know, I one of them that I interviewed was a doctor who suddenly found herself able to anticipate the illnesses of people. That, like, she would have the same thing. It was like a precognitive vision where she would see the inflammation of the brain of somebody she was about to meet who turned out to have meningitis and that kind of thing. And it can be very, very unsettling for people because, of course, how would they anticipate that that was going to be what was going to happen to them? So there's some kind of neural rewiring of some kind that happens that suddenly makes them more open to these other kinds of perceptions.
We've got another email. This comes to me from Brenda Lee. She says, "As a teenager, my 37-year-old uncle was killed by a drunk driver. He met the driver at a hilltop and had no chance to evade the oncoming drunk in his lane. He had mentioned to his sister that he felt, when he closely avoided being hit by a train crossing a track, that he felt like it had been his time to die. He started to leave her home and turned back on her front porch and talked for over an hour. This was totally unlike him. He was always very prompt, especially if it caused him to have to drive home on a 2-lane country roads at night. He made it home that night, but a few weeks later, he, a high school principal, and his best friend, who was the math teacher, were killed in the head-on collision. He left a wife and four daughters aged 3 to 13. The teacher left a wife and four young sons. Anyway, within the previous month, there had been a life insurance salesman who came to the high school, and the incentive was the very first month of insurance would be free. He signed up, never paid a dime. He left his family in very good financial condition. By the way, my mother had a premonition in a dream the night before he died. Let's go to another call. We've got west of the Rockies, Nita in Washington State. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What did you want to share with us?
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
How are you?
Sleepy.
I'm praying for you. I wanted you to know, I know you were coughing. I was praying for you earlier, and that's what I wanted to share with you years ago about my dad. He was really sick, and when I walked into the room, he wanted to pray with me. I'll start crying about this, but he wanted to pray with me, and I felt the presence of the Lord so powerfully that I know the Lord went in front of me as I walked in the door, and he put his hand out, and he said, would you pray for me for salvation? And I prayed with him, and the presence of God was so thick in the room, and he passed within a month, and I knew the night that he went home, I could feel it in the middle of the night, and I have gone through a lot of grief with other deaths. But like you said earlier, I did not have as much grief, where I know he's in heaven and safe. So it was really amazing.
Wow.
Very nice to get that kind of feeling, and that you were able to help out, at least in making the comfort level better for him as well, knowing that what might be coming.
The Lord has perfect timing, too, because I had talked to him for years about, you know, the Lord and you know, just in love, and he was ready, you know, and the Lord, like I said, I don't take any glory for it. I just know he walked in, and there was such a peace, like you were talking about, the peace of God that passes understanding.
Well, thank you, Nita.
So
we appreciate
powerful.
You.
So I wanted to give you comfort too, Dave.
Thank you.
Not to have fear.
Hopefully I'll get over that eventually. I don't know. As I said, maybe once I do, my journey is over. Let's go to the international caller line. Jeff in Victoria, British Columbia. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yes, good evening, you guys.
Thank you very much for being here. What can we help you with?
You can help me with a lot, because my mind was open to something, because I was reading about quantum mechanics. And it seems to me that, like, part of the reality of that is that, like, human beings can envision the idea of reincarnation and that. And I think it has something to do with quantum mechanics.
I'm not sure specifically it has to do with quantum mechanics, but there's lots of really interesting stuff around quantum physics that kind of opens our eyes to the universe being less explicable than we really thought it was with classical physics. And
like the whole idea of reincarnation, like I thought, well, you know, like just because the human mind is capable of understanding a concept like that, I think it has something to do with the quantum physics of our minds.
Maybe. You
and
should...
I think it would be really interesting to, like, get a guy who's an expert on quantum physics or mechanics to explain this, because I've seen some, I was looking at it on the internet, and it's like everything exists all at once. It's like really strange.
Yeah, Dave, you could get Dean Radin on if you've never interviewed him before.
Certainly.
Dean Radin.
Talking about those kind of connections, and is everything taking place all at once, is that maybe what we experience when we think we're having a haunting that we're dealing with? It could necessarily not be a dead person, but just that part of space and time bumping up against each other as we all exist at that, you know, throughout history in this one position. So quantum physics, quantum mechanics, the whole understanding of what is our place in the universe, I think that's continuing to unfold, and I wouldn't be surprised if science has a much better grasp on that sometime in the next 20 years.
Yeah,
Jeff, thanks a lot. Yeah, we appreciate you giving us a call, Jeff, and being a part of the show. Let's grab one more quick call. Mark, Nevada City, California, on Wildcard Line 1. What would you like to share with us?
Hi. Thanks for taking this on, Patricia. I know it's a can of worms. I'm an NDer, one of the ones you're talking about there with a, and had went through the life review and a little tour of what I call the place. Just ever since then, the last time of all sorts of phenomena and research and same thing you've been talking about all night. But I look at the debate, they call, whatever. I'm involved with IANS and do lots of speaking and stuff on this. Mm-hmm. And it's the brain shutting down and the processes versus, this concept that our soul is leaving and going outside. And in my experience, you touched on it a little bit. If the brain is capable of creating the experience that I survived, it was a terrible car crash, and I was crushed to death and blah blah blah. So if the brain is capable of creating that world and these things that have happened since, that's actually more incredible to me than if I went to heaven and then was brought back or whatever and spoke to God and was brought back. It's actually more incredible that the brain can create all this. But my point is, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, is the way I went out there and the experience of that love and that infinite and that the knowledge of everything. If that's just my brain shutting down and hypoxia and which is all true, I was definitely didn't have oxygen, my lungs were collapsed. But if it can do that, and that's the way it is, that's what it feels like to die, and this will help you do, then it doesn't matter. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You're gonna know. I mean, you're already in an infinite place, and it's full of love. What does it matter? It's all there is.
No, that's a really, really good point, because that's really what we're trying to understand. Well, at least for me, I was trying to understand why my sister was so radiantly happy, and whether it was the brain creating that radiant happiness at the end of her life. I don't necessarily think it was, but, or, whether it was a transcendent experience of the spiritual. The bottom line is that in reaching that place, somehow we come to this extraordinary bliss. And so we don't have to fear the dying process. Is that sort of what you're saying?
In a sense, even if it's true, let's just assume that the scientists are correct, which I don't believe they are. I believe there is a part of us that exists outside of the brain and outside of the electromagnetic fields that it, generates when it's thinking and firing. Let's say they're correct. Well, that would say that this entire thing that has been throughout recorded history with every religion and every culture, almost identical experiences, actually exists inside the brain, which would tell me that heaven is inside the brain, God's in the brain, and the entire universe, as I experienced, was in the brain. So
that's a great point. Thank you very much. We have to take our break. We'll come back. Patricia Pearson, our guest, will continue to take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. You can also contact me directly by emailing me at dave@darknessradio.com. You can check out our website at darknessradio.com for ways to communicate with me. If you have questions, guest ideas, and more, I'll be back hosting Coast to Coast on Friday the 27th. If there's topics you'd like to hear when I'm hosting, feel free to shoot me an email and let me know what you'd like to hear. Here's another email from a listener. Hi, Dave. I was 12 years old in 1967 when my friend and I were at the YMCA for a swim day. My grandfather appeared to me and told me not to get in the water, that I wouldn't be staying because my mom needed me at home. As we were going to the pool, I told my friend that he shouldn't jump in because we weren't staying. Right then, an attendant came in and told me I had a phone call. It was my mom, and she told me that Grandpa just passed away and I needed to come home. I'll never forget that so long as I live. That's from Ron in Phoenix. Our guest this evening, Patricia Pearson, has a book all about these type of experiences, Opening Heaven's Door, Investigating Stories of Life, Death, and What Comes After. Almost sounds like these are unbelievable stories, Patricia, stories that are so individual and singled out. But in reality, you're finding, and as we hear on shows like Coast to Coast or on my show Darkness Radio, this is something that's a lot more prevalent throughout our society.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing that's so fascinating is that, you know, what that email was describing is something that, for instance, I was just talking to the head of a major music company here in Toronto who drove me home one night. And, you know, he said, what are you researching? And I said, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, he put his car in the park. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I went downstairs and my dad was at the breakfast tables and my mother turned to me and broke the news to me that he died in the night. And I was like, but he's at the table. So, and you know, with children it happens and they have no kind of like formulations behind that. Right. It's really amazing actually that we would have something that is this prevalent in our culture, in our human experience, that we've somehow managed to bury so that it's as if it's kind of a rare thing or it only happens in a woo-woo way or it's only New Age. Or no, it's everywhere. It's totally prevalent, and we have to start trying to understand it better because we have questions. We have questions about what's going on, and they're not being answered when we're spending all of our time just trying to justify the fact that we had the experience in the first place.
Let's grab one more caller before break. John, on the first-time caller line in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi.
Hi. What happened to me, and it's like I used to suffer from severe depression, and back in 89, I was severely depressed, and I wanted to kill myself. So I was late at night. I was sitting there holding a gun to my head, contemplating about pulling the trigger, and I just started crying hysterically. I laid the gun down, and I called out my oldest brother's name, and for the next several minutes, I was just calling out his name. I get a call the next morning telling me that my brother had died from a massive heart attack the night before, at the exact same time I was holding the gun to my head.
Wow. Had you ever been visited from him after that point, or was it just that moment of connection that you two shared?
Just at that only time. It was like we had a special connection. We have different fathers and different last names. I found out several months later from his wife that he had proof that he had a full brother. Full blood brother, and he believed it was me.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, John. That's a great story in the sense that to have that kind of connection. And we're glad that that you survived that as well, and that you didn't end up taking your life that night. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with Patricia Pearson. We'll continue with your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. Thank you for hanging in with me for the evening. My name is Dave Schrader. I've been your host here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back with you June 27th, Friday, June 27th. I hope that you'll join me again. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dan on Wildcard Line 2 in Canada. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with Patricia and I this evening?
Well, hi, Dave. Hi. Thank you, Patricia, for taking my phone call, you guys. Just want to say thanks to everybody out there that's listening. Old brothers and sisters out there, especially everybody. I had experience 95. I was outside a bar and got in a fight with about four or five of these guys. I don't know, I was knocked out a couple times. So I got up off the ground the third time and a voice told me clearly between my ears, he said, move now, Dan. It was a male voice. You know, after that experience, and before that, I had experiences with spiritualism, dad going to the white light. But after that experience with the voice, and always wondering whose voice that was. And I went through many spiritual endeavors, you know, even play with a little bit of Satanism and all that stuff. And, you know, as I, 4 years ago, I was in the basement of this place I was staying at, and I was praying the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I was just basically crying out because I had no one to turn to. And I was all addicted and all that stuff on, you know, crazy stuff. And I literally, fourth day came and, you know, I was taken up out of my body, put in a house, not from this earth, in a spiritual place in the furthest reaches of the heavens. And this guy came up the stairs and, you know, he had this whitest outfit on and the bluest eyes in the universe. And came down the stairs after meeting him up on this in this house, and I had no idea what this experience was going to lead to. And, you know, he said, "Now give me your hand, Dan." And when he said, "Go as long as you can, Dan," I knew whose voice that was. It was Christ himself, Yeshua. And I just want to say, please, everybody out there, coming from personal experience to our Lord Yeshua Christ, he's real. I'm not religious. I'm telling everybody, please just call upon the name of the Lord. He did die for our sins 3 days and three nights. Without this, you know, he's so unbelievably cool, and his dad's even cooler, and his name is Jehovah. And
Dan. I'm glad that you had a positive experience with that, and I appreciate you giving us a call and sharing your story. Let's go to Wild Card Line 4, Bobby in Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling in and listening to us this evening. What would you like to share?
Actually, what y'all talking about with me is kind of in progress now, because Friday, my girlfriend, she's had cancer for the last 14 months, and Friday they told us we need to go into hospice, and the whole time, the last couple of days, I'm expecting her to get worse, and now she actually got up by herself and went to the bathroom by herself 10 minutes ago, and she couldn't hold anything, and all of a sudden, Sunday, she was holding stuff without dropping it, and instead of getting worse, she acts like she's getting better.
Wow, so that's a really powerful experience you're going through right now.
Yeah, it's like the most important person in my life. No one in a few days will not be there anymore.
Oh, I can really relate to that.
There is that moment, too, isn't there, Patricia, when people that are nearing death, it is like they have this fugue state goes away and they become almost whole. You get this feeling that, what, I think they're going to pull through, that things seem better. And that seems to happen to a lot of people as they approach that ending. Is that right?
Yes, it does. There's sort of a surge of energy, both physical and mental. And, you know, just, it's so important and emotional and profound. And my heart goes out to you absolutely so much at the moment.
Yes. Thank you for listening to the show and sharing your personal experience with us, Bobby, and we'll keep you and your girl in our thoughts and prayers throughout the Coast audience for whatever will there be done to be as peaceful and easy as it can be. Thank you very much for listening. Let's go to Steve in Rockport, New York on Wildcard Line 5. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yes. Hi, Dave and Patty. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Certainly. Welcome.
My whole life, I have had the ability to see things into the future and somehow tap into the energy when somebody's getting ready to pass away or die. And I've had this ability up until August 16th, 2011. It was a Tuesday morning. I had woken up at 5 o'clock a.m., rolled over on my back, and in the ceiling was what I'm going to call a square vortex with orange eyes up in it. And I had eye contact with this being for at least 5 minutes. And the thing that I got from that, I believe that when you die, your energy is still on this planet until they come and they take you aboard their craft and beyond. And they also have the ability, if you're a decent soul, a lot of us get sent back to be reincarnated on this earth. Some of us don't. Some of us get used as possibly other, whatever other means that they use the energy for. When my mother passed away in 01, she died of cancer. And when we got called to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning, for some reason, she kept looking up at the ceiling like something was up there to come down for her. Now, I believe in afterlife, and I also believe in reincarnation. I can't tell you exactly what it is I saw in that and above me that morning, but ever since that morning, my extra powers or the extra abilities that I've had of seeing things in the future before they happen and feeling the energy when somebody's going to die. And I've always told people everything, every time it's ever happened to me, that something's going to happen, somebody's going to die, and within a day or so it happens. And ever since that morning, that being or angel made contact with me, everything has stopped. And it's like I'm a totally different person. It's almost like I'm normal now, whereas before, the energy that I had was just, I didn't know it was different when I had it, but I definitely know now that they gave me a gift for my whole life. And it was that morning that, for whatever reason, it was taken from me.
Wow.
Well, Steve, thank you.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Thank you for sharing. Well, let me ask you about that. When you hear about these visitations at the bedside or at the death side, Patricia, have there ever been claims of aliens being there? Has anybody witnessed that or shared that in any of the research you've done?
Not in the context of hospice. I think there's you know that book by, I guess, I forget, it was a psychiatrist named Rick Strassman, I think, right? The DMT, the spirit molecule?
Oh, right.
Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
And some of the people who experimented with DMT, which I guess is a powerful hallucinogen, sort of had more along the lines of that kind of experience of other realms and other worlds, but, you know, occupied by, you know, sort of alien beings. Although what that means, you know, what do you mean by an alien? You know, alien is just something that isn't human, essentially. So, yeah, but I haven't seen it in hospice, no.
Here's an email. My name is Charles, and I live in East Tennessee. When my mother gave birth to my sister, she stopped breathing. She said later that she felt uncomfortable and started to crab walk to try and reposition herself to get comfortable. All at once, she realized she stopped hurting and felt as though she was in water that was the perfect temperature. The water was so clear she could see to the bottom, but it seemed bottomless. As she turned to her side, she saw a beach where a group of people were standing. The colors were so intense, if you were to touch something, it would melt. She said as she started to swim to the shore, she felt a touch on her shoulder, and she was back in the delivery room. She has always repeated this exactly the same way over the years. Thank you, and that's from Charles in East Tennessee. We've also got a quick one from Samantha. Growing up, my grandmother fiddled with tarot and predicted whereabouts when she was going to die. She never said the date, but said she would go out with a bang. July 4th, 1998, my dad and sister were watching the fireworks, and right as the show started, I felt that she had died. When we got home, my mom told us she died of lung cancer. In 2012, my grandfather was quite sick, but came out of it. He told me in 2 months he was going to die. 2 weeks later, I was at my husband's parents' house, and I felt him go. Then I got the phone call. He died from a heart attack. That's my story, and thanks for listening. That's from Samantha. Thank you very much, Samantha. Let's grab another call. Wildcard line 3, Carolyn in Morgantown, West Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm so thankful you took my call. I really want your expert opinion on what is happening. When I was a child, I would get dreams about family members and they would die. And as a teenager, my grandmother had a near-death experience after a surgery, and I saw an apparition during that time. As a young adult, my grandfather, about 8 weeks before he died, I had almost like an internal voice telling me he was going to die. And I am a nurse, and there are times I walk in patients' rooms, and I get the sense, or I hear a voice saying they're going to die. And it's happened several times where they've coded. And the most recent things are, it's starting, it's, whatever's happening, it's starting to change where I experience extreme chest pain. I laid on the bed and I thought, you know, I just didn't know what was happening. And I know it's not logical, but I drove myself to the hospital. And I thought, well, if it goes away, I'll just turn around and go back. And I got there. And of course, I was okay. They checked everything out. I was okay. But the chest pain started at 5 p.m. They ended at 10 p.m. And during that time, my stepfather's brother had fallen through an attic. And he broke his neck, his back, his pelvis, and had a head injury. And I feel like I was taking on this pain. Then for the last part of this I wanted to say was my friend of 41 years had developed cancer. She quit talking to me. She said, someday you'll understand. Well, during that 6-year period that she was dying, and I didn't know it, I was taking on the same symptoms as she was. Abdominal pain, confusion, throwing mail on the floor, just lethargy, fatigue. I get to the doctor, they say everything checks out, you're okay. And I'm just wondering, can you please explain to me why I'm taking this on?
Well, if you're very sensitive, a lot of people refer to that as medical empathy or a medical empath, where you're actually able to pick up on some of these different feelings and senses from people that you're close to. Thanks for calling in. Patricia, have you heard much about that kind of phenomenon and the research you've done?
Yeah, a little bit. And if you get in touch with me through my website and my email is there, then I will email you some of the research that I've seen about that.
All right. We've got another quick email here. Hi, Dave and Patricia. Just thought I'd mention that I feel people are not afraid to die, but rather how they're going to die, such as painfully, all of a sudden, or even of disease. Does this sound out of reach to you? Do you believe that this might be what people are thinking? Thank you so much. And that's from Joe in Texas. Do you think that might have a lot more to do with real fear of death and why people are so reticent? Is it more of the, not the fear of the what comes next, but the pain and things we have to deal with leading into death?
Yeah, I do. I do think that. For a lot of people, I think that's the real issue. And that's why I think it's so important to... you know, what I've tried to write about in this book is the fact that many people, you know, that's not the fear that you need to have, because it can be actually much calmer and more blissful than you think.
What would you like? We've got about a minute left together. What would you like people to get out of the book, Opening Heaven's Door?
I'd like them to feel permission to have had the experiences that they've had and to understand that science has not entirely figured out how to dismiss them yet, and that, in fact, science is going in the opposite way in many cases and is really beginning to take these things more seriously. And, you know, that they're going to be, we're all going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We're loved, and we're loved universally as well as by our families.
Thank you very much. I want to thank our producers this evening, Nathan and Gina, engineer Tim Dennis here back in Minneapolis, Lisa Lyon, and, of course, George Norrie. My guest is Mark Anthony from NeverLettingGo.com and Patricia Pearson, author of Opening Heaven's Door, investigating stories of life, death, and what comes after. Thank you for tuning in and spending your time with me. I'm Dave Schrader from DarknessRadio.com. We'll be back tomorrow with brand new Coast to Coast AM.